I'll stand now. We're going to sing another Christmas hymn. Hymn number 366, Silent Night. Everybody knows this.
Silent Night.
I did want to mention next Friday night, our choir will be singing on the square in Marietta at 8 o'clock. So come out and be with us. You can stand out there. We'll let you sing with us, and we'll all freeze together if it continues. It's usually the coldest night of the year when we go there to sing. The next Sunday morning, we'll have all brand new music the choir will be doing during our regular service next Sunday morning. Just before the pastor comes, I'm going to ask Sister Mandy to come out around and sing a very special song for us this morning.
Singing, you know, we're really blessed here at this church with some great singing, great spirit. God has been so good to us. We were here Wednesday night, and Sarah and Savannah sang that song. I really like that song they sang. I wanted them to sing it this morning, and they do a great job with it. And of course, like that song that Miss Mandy sang too. Now, how many times y'all heard me you say, that's my favorite song? Well, I got scripture this morning on my heart in Mark chapter number 3. And I'm going to try, it's Mark chapter number 3, verses 1 through 6. Try to obey the Lord. This is one of those places of scripture that I have read over. And what I mean is you read over it. You read it and you pass over it. Now, here's kind of the way I am. I look at it, and it's almost pretty quick. I can't preach out of that. Ain't nothing in that. Well, God has just continually brought this scripture to my heart and my mind. You know, we preach about the leper. We preach about the woman with the issue of blood. We preach about blind Bartimaeus. We preach about the Gadarene demoniac. But I've never preached about the man with the withered hand. And that's what I've got on my heart this morning. And I want to preach on this subject, withered, from the man with the withered hand. And this scripture is found in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. And I want to use the scripture primarily from the book of Mark, and then we'll pull a couple of verses from the book of Luke. And of course, when we read the scripture, and I've said this before, and I think this is an important way of looking at the Word of God, we read it and we understand historically what happened. Okay, so the first thing I want you to see this morning is historically, this happened, just like God's Word says that it happened. But doctrinally, it teaches us something. And this is something that's very important to me, into my heart. It's when you bring the Word of God to God's people, is we're going to apply it to our hearts and our lives. You know, my desire from the Word of God is that you would come into church on Sunday morning, and or any time you come, but you would get something that you could take with you through the week that would help you, okay, and help you live your life for the Lord. Paul said, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Okay, we want to see people saved, and that is our number one heart's desire. But I want to tell you in another place, he said that my people might grow. And you and I are in our relationship with God, and I believe this, it doesn't matter if you live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, you will be growing. You will continue to grow and you will continue to learn and God will continue to speak to you. And what I ultimately want God to do with this scripture this morning is my heart's desire in prayer. Folks, I want to be completely surrendered. I want to be the point I walk up here and it's not about me. I get myself out of the way. I just move me out of the way and say, God, would you do something this morning that only you can do for your people? And that is my prayer this morning. Let's read Mark chapter number 3 and verse 1 through verse number 6. Says, and he, speaking of Jesus, entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, speaking of Jesus, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him or criticize him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Jesus speaking, he said, stand forth. And he saith unto him, them around him, Jesus really speaking to the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, now this is Jesus, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway, or immediately, took counsel with the Herodians against him, against Jesus, how they might destroy him. Now, as we look at this scripture, I want us to understand, let's just kind of walk through it for just a minute, understand and examine the scripture from a historical perspective and understand exactly what's happening. In verse 1, it says, Jesus, he entered, and it says, again, into the synagogue. Now, here's what I want you to understand. He had been there before. The Pharisees knew who he was, and they did not like him. They did not want him there. They did not want him in their midst. Now, folks, who didn't like Jesus? It was the religious crowd of the day. It was the ones who supposedly thought they had all the answers for all the people. But they didn't want Jesus. But when he went in this time, it says, and there was a man there with a withered hand. You know, sometimes what we need to recognize and understand is God has a way of developing or putting together appointments for you and I. You know, it's not by chance that anybody's here this morning. You know, you came, and I'm glad you came, but I want you to understand something this morning. God has something for you. every time you come into the house of God. So there was a man there that had a withered hand. He was crippled. Now here's my problem with this scripture. I've read it many times and it's almost like this. Well, he's got a crippled hand. Well, you know, let's use this one. And I'll tell you why. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 6, it says it was his right hand. Now, I know some of you Southpaws, that's the way to be. That's the way to go. Most people are right-handed, right?
Yeah.
Most people. Now, here's what I believe, and this is just something that I believe from looking at the scripture. I believe it said it was his right hand because I believe it was the hand the man needed to use.
Yeah.
And if you think about it for just a minute, if you've never been crippled, you're not going to fully understand this. But when I read this scripture, I thought about a friend of mine, a man that I met. And I remember when I met him, I walked over to the truck, and he was sitting in the truck, and he had the window down. And a friend of mine that I'd known all my life was there, and he introduced me to him. His name was Brett. And he was sitting in the truck, and he couldn't get out of the truck. He wouldn't get out of the truck. I thought, well, I want to get out of the truck. I reached up to shake his hand, and he did this. He stuck his hand out the window as far as he could, and his fingers were crippled, and his wrist was bent. And I found out later that he was a paraplegic because he had been in an accident, and he was paralyzed, and he had very little use or function in his body. You know, when I read this scripture, I can't tell you how many times I've thought this. Well, he's not a leper. This man hasn't had an issue of blood for 12 years. This man is not blind from his birth. He just got a crippled hand. But I want you to understand something. Jesus cared about a crippled hand.
Amen.
You see, the scripture says he had a withered hand. He was crippled. But think about what's happening here. Jesus is in the midst of the synagogue and he's teaching. And there's a man there that's crippled. And the Pharisees, the whole time that they're there, says in the second verse, and they watched him. And here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day. That's all they wanted to do. They knew that he had healed. They had heard the stories. It's a little bit different if you ever read about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he had heard over and over. It's almost like this. Every door that he knocked on, he would go, and then he would go back after Jesus had been by, and he saw the miracle. He saw the Gadarene healed. He saw the woman with issue of blood. He saw the blind receive sight. And when he saw it, it moved him. The Pharisees saw what Jesus was doing, but rather than repenting and recognizing in themselves, there's no religion and goodness in us. They just looked for a way to accuse him. And they wanted to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day. Well, what is the Sabbath day? Now, folks, we don't go to church on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is Saturday. It's the seventh day. It's the day that we have, that we do most of the time, if you can, if your work schedule allows it, what you want to do. Some of you ladies are absolute professional shoppers. And I know yesterday that's where you were at. I went shopping with my wife yesterday, and I don't go much. I'm just getting to the point I can't handle it. But I did go a little bit, and I was there, and actually it was Friday night, and I was watching her. I was just looking at her, and I thought, boy, she's enjoying this. She would look at stuff, and she would hold it, and she would smile, and then she picked something else up. I went over and got on a bench and went to sleep. I went to sleep in the shoe department. But you know, Saturday is the Sabbath day. Doesn't the scripture say it's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8? What does it say? It says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, it said the Lord created the heaven and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And the seventh day is the Sabbath day. And he said, keep it holy. Now, here we are in America today, in the times that we live in today, there are entire denominations that their number one issue is the Sabbath day. They go to church on Saturday, and because you don't, they don't believe you're going to heaven. That's just the way that it is. Now, there are other things that go along with their teaching. I don't have time. I got to move or I won't get done with this. But it's all about that day. It's about a rule. It's about a requirement. But you know, you come into the New Testament, and all of a sudden Jesus is on the scene. And the scripture says in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 27, this is Jesus, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And then he says, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In other words, here's what Jesus has said. He said, I'm God. I made it. I made it for you. And because of the way you look at it and the way you've distorted it and the way you have added to what my intentions were, you're misunderstanding the whole purpose. God said, I'm giving you rest. See, under the law, they were to honor the Sabbath day. But you and I as Christians, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Now, you got to be careful with that. And here's what I want you to understand. There are some things that under the law, they pointed us to grace. The scripture says in Galatians chapter number 3, I just want to give you a couple of verses. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24 and verse number 25. I want us to look at those couple of verses for just a minute. It says, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We're not justified by the law. It says, after this, that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay? So we walk as Christians, we live under grace. And see, we're not Jews, we're Gentiles. Maybe one or two Jewish background in here. But we're basically, we're Gentiles. America's a Gentile church. We're under grace. Well, what happened when Jesus came and he went to his own? The scripture says his own received him not. You know, the disciples were sent out. Paul was sent out, went to the Gentiles, and they began to accept Christ. And because Jesus rose on the first day of the week, what happened was they started gathering on the first day of the week. They didn't understand that stuff in the history of the Old Testament and the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were so concerned about rules that they didn't even see the man's need. You see, what happened was over a period of time, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you know that they wrote over 400 things that you could not do on the Sabbath day in their eyes and be right with God? It's almost like you could only stick your finger. One I heard about, and I think this is amazing. You could only pick up enough honey to put on a sore. Because that's the way they used to treat them. And then they talked about how much weight you could pick up and not be breaking the law. And it just goes on and on and on. It's like if you drink a glass of milk, it could only weigh so much or it would be work. We're missing the point. And Jesus was looking at them with anger because of the hardness of their heart. Because they missed the point altogether. See, I'm glad that we're saved, and I'm glad. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? Amen. I'm glad. I'm so thankful for grace. See, the Lord, he's also the Lord of the Sabbath day. In verse number 3, and if you could just imagine this, here's Jesus in the midst, and when he spoke like no other man. He had power. There's never been a preacher like him. There's never been anyone that when he opened his mouth, it was like rivers of water is coming out. And no wonder they held their peace. But he looks at that man with a withered hand in verse 3. And he tells him to stand forth. It's like this. He said, come here. And he stands in the front of them and he looks, Jesus in the fourth verse, he looks around at the religious crowd. And he says, well, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? To save life or to kill? They didn't have an answer for that. And he looked around about on them with anger. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 8, the scripture actually says that he knew their thoughts. God knows. He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. Now, if you could just imagine, I don't know, if this was your hand, it'd matter. That's just what I thought. He said, stretch forth your hand, and immediately he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other. Now, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something that really has touched my heart. You ever sit down with somebody and talk to them and trying to pray with them and had anybody look you right in the eye and just say, I just wish I could go to work. Most time people do whatever they can to get out of work. But I can remember when my dad was sick and he had emphysema and he was basically disabled at 49 years old, and I'd go talk to him and God had put a calling on his life and he was trying to pastor a church and he didn't even have the energy to work on the church. He would go down there when they were working on the church on work days and he would sit in a chair out in the yard. How many times I've talked to him? Wish I could just do what I really like this. Now, this is just the way it is. Wish I could just do what a man's supposed to do. Because your hand didn't matter. Now, when this happened, the scripture says the Pharisees went forth and immediately they took counsel with Herodians how they might destroy Jesus. Now, all they wanted to do, the whole purpose of them being there, was to find something that they could accuse about. Now, folks, sometimes that's the reason people come to the church. But, you know, if you come that way here, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to get a hold of you. I just do. God's in control here. Man's not in control here. Now, when I look at this scripture and I think about it, historically, that's exactly what happened. But I asked God, I said, God, why do you keep bringing me back to this scripture? And it's just like I heard the Holy Spirit say, because of my mind and where it was at, God said, I care about the little things too. Now here's what I want you to understand this morning. This is where I'm going to try to apply this to our hearts and our lives. Sometimes when we come into the house of God, have you ever come in and had a prayer request and thought, well, I'm not going to share this because compared to what somebody else over there said, it's such a little thing. I can remember in 2010 when the economy was so bad and I had so many friends losing their jobs and I had friends who were losing their businesses and I had one particular friend that was involved in ministry at church. He had a carpet laying business. Now, you know what happened to home building? You know what happened with the bubble? He ended up losing his business and had to go work in Washington, D.C. on some job site out of town as an apprentice. Misery. I prayed for him. And I knew that was going on. Well, at the same time, I didn't lose my job, but I want to tell you, I was going through so much, and we had a new boss, and we had consultants. I mean, you ever looked at anybody and say, that wall's brown, or that wall's tan? They said, no, that's green. That's what it was like, Brother Tom. I was having trouble with my blood pressure. I got sick. And you know, I hated to ask people to pray for me because I had a job. But I want you to understand something. What I was dealing with was real. And when I began to look at this scripture and God spoke to me, he said, I care about the little things. Here's what I want you to understand. God cares about withered hands. Okay, whatever it is going on in your life, you can apply the withered hand to. I don't know what it is. God knows, God cares. And it does not have to be life-threatening to get help from God. See, you don't have to be a leper. You don't have to have an issue of blood for 12 years. You don't have to be blind looking for sight. What you have to do is that you have a God who loves you and cares about you. And if it's a withered hand, if it's an ingrown toenail, if you've lost your car keys, God cares. Amen. See, because God cares about you. Your issue is important to God because your issue is real. Sometimes my wife and I, we have this conversation. I've had this conversation with other men in the church. I've had this conversation with Brother Allen. You remember what it was like to be 15? Now, I look over here at you young people. I want y'all to know, y'all are important to God. See, when I was 15 years old, it was the longest summer of my life. And I made this comment to somebody recently. I said, you know, right now, and I talked about my son, I said, his life is moving real slow. He can't wait for the next birthday. He can't wait for the next event in his life to happen. Me, I have to be careful or I miss it. Can you believe it's December the 11th? Did I get that date right? You see, the truth is, God cares. And for you young people, one thing that I can remember experiencing is wanting to drive. How about this? Do you remember the pain of first love. Sometimes, I tell you, what do we do? See, we be careful that we don't become like the Pharisees, okay? We don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just a withered hand. What are you whining about? What are you worried about? I want you to understand something. Go back in time and remember what it felt like. Remember the pain. Remember what you went through. And what we need to do when we look around about on each other, rather than saying, well, it's just this. It might be important to them. It might be important to them. It might be hurting them. And here's what I want you to understand something. God cares. My wife and I recently, we lost some car keys. Did you like the way I said that? We. Have you ever asked God to help you find your car keys? Here's what I want you to understand. God cares. I've been trying. I've been hunting all year, and I haven't taken any animals, okay? I said, honey, you need to pray for me. You need to pray that God would send me a big 10-point. I can't get her to do it. She said, we don't have any more room on the wall. Have you ever lost your car keys? I want to tell you, there was an incident in here, and I'm just saying this for the honor and glory of God, because God wants to bless you. God cares about little things. God cares about withered hands. We had a situation in our house. I think these were actually Matthew's car keys or something, and we had looked, and my wife said, well, I'll just pray about it. And this is what she said. She said, go look in this area. I just feel like to look in this area. You know, it's almost like, go look around the ironing board or go look around that dresser downstairs. I've learned to listen to her. We found them right where she said they'd be. And she didn't know. Well, we lost our car keys. And I went over to the school and we were looking for them. And we looked here and we looked there. And you know, you get to the point, you start thinking about all them little key fobs, and she had hers on there and mine on there, and I was adding up the money, and I was trying as kind as I could, you know, to say, this is going to cost this much if we don't find this. We need to pray hard. Yeah. And she kept thinking, I've looked there, I just feel like I need to go look here. And we went and looked where she felt like we needed to look, and she prayed, and we found them. Here's what I want you to understand. God cares. Yeah. Young people, do you ever have that test? And you walk in there before you take it and you say, God, I need you to help me. And now, folks, sometimes it's whether you study or not, right? We have a God that loves us, that cares about us, and it does not have to be life-threatening for you to call out to Him. I remember one time I was laying under a Jeep. Changing out a steering sector. I'm too old to do that now. And I had my knee up holding it and my hand on it, and it was about 95 degrees, and sweat was running in my glasses and my eyes. I said, God, if you just please let me get this last bolt on here, I'm going to quit doing this. Does God care about what's going on in your life or not? Do you ever ask Him? Do you ever come to Him with something and you say, this is just not, I'm just not going to mention this. I'm just not going to pray about this. God cares. Amen. And He cared about a man with a withered hand. And sometimes it's not just a withered hand, but here's what I want you to know that happens sometimes in our life, and nobody really understands this exactly but God, but sometimes you can have little things that become so heavy. The withered hand creates a withered spirit. You see, this withered was in the synagogue. But the known religious leaders of his day were more concerned about catching Jesus breaking the rules. Here's the thing, in parentheses, as they understood them, than they were about helping the man with the withered hand with his problem. You see, sometimes we get so concerned about who's going to get the credit, who's right, who's going to get the recognition or even who's going to get the title, that we forget about exactly why we're here. You know, we've been talking about what God's doing in this church and what God's going to do. And I want to tell you, God wants to do great things. But he's not doing it so we can get lifted up. He's not doing it so we can get lifted up with pride. He's doing it so we can help somebody else get to the place that they need to be in their relationship with God. What is withered? Think about the hand, but think about the spirit. It's not capable of functioning in a needed or normal fashion. It could be bowed down, beat down, or burned out. You know, I heard a story of a single mother, and I thought how real it is. You know, a mama that loves her kids will work herself to death for them to have clean clothes. She'll work herself to death for them to be able to make good grades. She'll check behind them in their homework, and she'll watch them, and she'll care more about them, really, than they care about herself. A 10-year-old boy don't care whether his teeth brush or not, but mama cares. But you know, sometimes the weight and the stress, the little things, the lost keys, the torn zipper, the lost paper that you worked on, little things mount up to cause us to be withered. The Lord understood this. The psalmist understood this. In Psalms 102 and verse 4, the scripture says, "My heart is smitten and withered like grass." In Psalms 102 and verse 11, it says, "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass." I heard a story, as I was about to say, of a mother who was a single mother. Had three or four little children, and she worked, and she tried to cook for them, and she tried to clean, and she tried to iron, and she tried to do homework, and she's picking up clothes, and she's picking up dirty clothes. And she told the story about how she had gotten down on the living room floor after all the children were in bed, and she was picking up toys, and she went to sleep sitting there on the carpet. And she woke up the next morning, and all night, she had sat in the floor asleep. Can I tell you that there are people like that right now? There are probably people like that in this church. And here's what I want you to understand. Even the little things, you bring them right here to a God that cares when you're withered. That's why he said, and I love this scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 20. And it goes back to Isaiah. You find the reference to it. It's speaking of fortune, looking forward, telling the future that Christ is to come. It said, "A bruised reed shall he not break." Now this is a picture. A reed is a slender piece of river grass that when it's at its strongest point and it grows up and it's beautiful and it's something to see, but after the river and the water has beat on it and it begins to break over. It also says, "A smoking flax he will not snuff out." That's a lamp that's flickering. Used to shine bright, but now it's just flickering. Said he won't snuff it out. He'll trim it, that it will burn as long as it's supposed to burn. You know why? Because God's able. You see, the withered, God, yes, God can help you with your withered hand. God can help you find your car keys. Yeah, God can help you with your test. God can help you with that thing you're concerned and worried about. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, "He is able. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Now, I know I go to Psalms 103 a lot, but it's one of my favorite verses. "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." You know, sometimes my boys come to me and they ask me for something. I look at them and I'm thinking in my mind, "You don't deserve it. You've been bad." How many times we give it to him anyway? You know, when you come to the Lord, he doesn't look at you always and say, "Well, you don't deserve it." What do we deserve to get from God? But how many times has he been better to us and loved us and poured out and opened the windows of heaven because he loves us? says in Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the latter part of the verse, it says, "He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So what can God do? I believe God can heal a withered hand. I believe God can restore a broken spirit. God can restore a broken relationship. And yeah, God can help you with the very little things. The little things. You see, I guess the application, and here's the question. Will we come to him? You know, sometimes, you know, we present the altar call and we say, "Well, I'm not going up there. I'm saving." Somebody might need to pray this loss. Somebody might have a real issue. I want to tell you, God cares about your issue. Yes. The question is, will you bring your withered hands, your withered relationships, your withered spirit? Will you bring it to God? Do you believe that he'll help us with the little things? Well, Scripture says that he will. In Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. We're going to play a song, "I'm Overwhelmed." Every time I listen to this and I think about God's love and his mercy toward me, it's overwhelming. And I want you to know this morning, God loves you and God cares about you. I don't care how big it is. Will you bring it to God this morning? Go ahead and play.